this one.
And Horns 24/7 insider Jeff Howe on your live, local, and independent home for sports talk in Austin, The Horn.
Second hour of Light the Tower here on the Horn. 1049, 1019, AM 1260. Streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com. Somebody back on the Specs text line says, wow, so the person gets a dream job of getting paid crap while experiencing firsthand royal opulence. I can't imagine people not being interested. No doubt about that. You get an opportunity if you want. So there it is. Second hour, Craig and Jeff with you here. We got to talking about, one of our favorite topics during the break, fast food. Because
just food in general.
Food in general. But Jeff and I lead lives of mobility. So
that's one way to put it.
We lead lives that are very much in transit.
Mm-hmm.
Last night, I rolled in after going up to a game one of the World Series. I rolled in about 2:30 in the morning and then did the Craigway Sports Report for the morning. So I got to bed about 3:30 and popped right back up at 7 and ready to roll, right? Now, it'll hit me like a ton of bricks later today, but I feel fine right now.
And you get to that power nap in a little bit later.
Right. Now, I did not do any fast food last night, although unless you count the hot dog at the ballpark, at the ballgame. But like on the drive up, drive back, no, I didn't do that. But you and I both have been known to do that. And toward that end, we got to comparing apps, fast food apps, because for me, I have a collection of them. It's more about convenience thing. I can click that thing on the app like I do in my Starbucks app and just roll through right off the highway, get what I need, boom. And go. So it works out of that. So I have a whole collection of them. But you have like a couple, right?
I have a couple. You know, speaking of hot dogs, by the way, when we get back to normal and we're able to go to ball games freely, I need the person working the hot dog cart on Dollar Hot Dog Night not to give me a scowl when I
go back for the seventh
look
time.
And see like what is the maximum here and I hit that, you know, five hot dog maximum. Don't give me a dirty look. You set the rules, I'm just playing by them.
So in other words, and I've never done this. So you help me on this. On a dollar hot dog night, whether it be at Del Diamond or at a major league ballpark, most places the rule is what? A maximum of five in any one purchase.
Yeah.
So you could buy five, eat them, then go back up and buy five more if you wanted, right? What's the most you've eaten in one setting?
I'm around like six or seven. I know I'm going to get a text from my brother here in a second to tell me I'm a liar, but it's probably about six or seven. It's usually the limit.
Part of the reason we said this was because if you were watching the World Series last night, because Mookie Betts stole a base, and he stole two, as we talked about, the world as we know it gets a free taco, a Doritos Locos taco.
Oh, it's a Doritos Locos taco.
I think it is. Okay. I think it is. And so you get a free one. So they made a bit. You had Chuck Morgan, the longtime Rangers public address announcer. He's doing the PA, obviously, for the World Series. He makes an announcement, and the, 11,000 fans in the ballpark just go ballistic. They get all excited about getting the free taco. Now, that kind of thing. Just like, Longhorn basketball game, the five free wings.
Five free wings from Pluckers.
Yeah, you can get that. But for those of us who happen to have that Taco Bell app on our phone, the free taco is going to most of the country, I believe, the 29th. But for the rest of us who have the app on the phone, we can get it today if we want it. You can go get it today because you're in the Taco Bell rewards. No. So you were asking.
Yeah, I was like, man, Craig, you have a Taco Bell app?
And I said, I've got Taco Bell, I've got McDonald's, I've got Burger King, I've got all these different ones, not because I frequent them all that often, but it's very much a convenience thing. If I'm rolling up down I-35 like I do.
Yeah.
And by the way, I was asked that question yesterday. The girlfriend asked me that. She said, how often do you think you've made this drive in your life? Austin up to Dallas, Dallas down to Austin. And I said, this will be a conservative estimate. If you take out, let's go even pre-1992, take that out. Take all that out. From the time I came to Texas, December of 78, all the way to 1992. If you took out the trips I made to go down and see friends or this or that, and just started from the era of working Longhorn games in the football broadcast booth or working courtside, as I did initially with Bill Schoening in 92, if you went from 92 to the current time, the conservative estimate would be about 50 trips a year. The television show for Fox every Friday, about 50 trips a year. So you multiply that over the years, that equates to over 1,500 times of
yeah,
driving.
I can see that. Yeah.
And so it could be, you know, definitely over 1,500 times and maybe even closer to 2,000. So it's a lot. So when you're doing all of that, sometimes convenience is very important, whether you got a Starbucks app or a fast food app, to be able to put that on your phone and zip right in and get that and zip right out.
Yeah, the Starbucks app works great, especially like, you know, the trip to Lubbock a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah.
Because my wife has the app and I messed something up when I downloaded it, whatever. So it's like, hey, you call her about 30 minutes before I get there. Hey, can you, you know, order me my drink so I can stop at the Starbucks in Brownwood, just pick it up and be on my way.
Right.
Nobody wants to mess with the Starbucks drive-thru, especially in the morning. That's why I have the Whataburger app, because I can order it and just go pick it up. I don't have to wait in line.
That's on my phone. That's
and then I do Chick-fil-A for the points. I know we got to get back to sports.
Yes.
But I got to bring this up on the text line.
Okay.
Because my brother Joe will appreciate this text. Big Crit fan text, and it says, do y'all ever do Hunt Brothers Pizza, hunk of pizza, usually found at rural gas stations?
I bet you've done it. You've got Hunt Brothers Pizza written all over you, my friend.
My brother swears that the Hunt Brothers Pizza, and I don't even know if they have it anymore, but at the Chevron station in Florence is like the best pizza he's ever had. And it's only that one, because there are different Hunt Brothers locations. He's like, that one just tastes a little bit different.
Yeah.
So yes, Big Crit fan, I am very familiar with the Hunt
Brothers.
That's
one of them. Yeah. Pizza. That's I am as well. And I think I have frequented it once or twice anyway over the years. Somebody went, so 300,000 miles, you know, more or less. It's been a lot. I know that over the years, no doubt about it. So my friend went to the game last night, and he was taken aback when he heard Chuck Morgan saying, your L.A. Dodgers are the fans. Dodgers being the home team, Chuck is doing it right, just weird to hear. That's true. And on Friday night, game three, he'll say, your Tampa Bay Rays. It'll be just the opposite. So they're doing, for the World Series, it like the teams would have the home field, and the Dodgers,
yeah,
technically the higher seed, best record in baseball. They have technically the home team for games one and two, Tampa Bay for 3-4, assuming there's a game five, they would be for five, and then if there's a six and a seventh, it'd be back to L.A. being the team. So that's how that is. And not only does he say that to let the texter know this, when you saw the in-game production, yeah, there'd be the Dodger graphics and things like that in their videos and their music from their organist when they come bad and all that kind of stuff. By the way, good performance of the national anthem. I don't know if they showed this on the telecast by the Pentatonix. Did you guys see that? I don't know if they showed that on the telecast last night. Pentatonix doing the national anthem. Snoop, did you see that?
I missed the national anthem.
Never mind. I was going to comment something.
Okay. All right.
Well.
Okay. That's okay.
This is a weird time to say, because it has nothing to do with what we're talking about. So, oh my God. Okay. So Vandergrift. This is weird. They were playing.
Boy, this is coming from left field here.
This is. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
But it's been on my mind.
Okay.
Because I saw it and my mind was blown. And I don't know. So the national
anthem. So unblow your mind. Free your mind there.
Vandergrift Vista Ridge is past Friday.
Yep.
So they were playing the national anthem. And Vandergrift did their run out in the middle of the national anthem. It was. Anyway, I don't know. I just wanted to unload that.
Okay.
Such things can happen.
Yeah,
things can happen.
Here's my initial first blush reaction to that, hearing that, is that that's just an off-timed thing, something that was off-timing. Remember, in football, in most cases, certainly in college football, and in high school football, in many cases, the school's Or, well, in high school football, they'll come out, bust through the poster and all that, and then you might then, have the, yeah, anthem, the anthem at that point.
Yeah.
But in college football, they're in the locker rooms during the anthem. Because they usually come at like the under 9 minute mark or something like that on the
and especially
pre-game
like in Texas,
clock.
Like the band is on the band's right. usually on the field
right.
for the anthem
performing. Right. So they do it there. But I have a feeling it was because that Vandegrift, remember, was the visiting team last week. So sometimes you don't have the timing elements of that. You may not have gotten a timing sheet from the opponent. You may not know exactly. Well, here's where we go out exactly 6 minutes to kick off. Whatever, go through it. Well, that just happens to be when the anthem's going, you know, that kind of thing. So that's unfortunate.
So many, like, I don't know. Okay, I'm sorry.
And that's one of those things as a high school player, Craig, that I miss. And you even, you know, if you've ever, I'm sure you've seen them, like you get a glimpse of like a Texas coach's like your pregame sheet. It is down to like the minute, like in a high school football game. It's like at 7:12, we're, you know,
right,
team prayer or whatever.
Absolutely.
At 7:18, run through sign. 7:27, national anthem. 7:32, kickoff.
Sure, absolutely. That's how that goes. Somebody said Snoop with a non sequitur because you were going to off topic there. Somebody else texted. They did show the national anthem on TV. Also, Chuck Morgan is the best. I stopped and saw Chuck after the game in the new ballpark in Globe Life Field. His booth is on the concourse level. You can see it. It's a big, big booth there right behind home plate. The press box is way up top. He is not, however. He's at concourse level. And he was in there, and I'm walking by, and he recognized me, and we stopped and chatted because we've known each other a long, long time, going back to my days of covering the Rangers back in the 80s. So it was good to see Chuck Morgan last night. So somebody said, I second Hunt Brothers on the pizza. Somebody else said, it's pretty solid.
I am guilty, Craig, at Florence High School. I was once the guy who ran through the run-through sign.
Did you really?
Way early. Oh, yeah.
Did you? What do you mean you went through it early?
I jumped the gun. Like, I don't know. It was a season opener, if I remember right, and your juices are flowing, and we're having, like, the team breakdown, and I just had a brain fart, like, broke the huddle early and went through the run-through sign as everybody was trying to set up the spirit
and
line.
And you were the only guy?
I was the only guy, yeah.
Through the banner by yourself? Like, yeah.
If I remember right, everybody behind me was, well, I guess we're going. So it's just one of those deals. So, yeah, I've been guilty of a pregame snafu before.
You just hear your coach going, guys, Hal went out playing grab ass and busted through the banner. You know, let's go on out there.
It was definitely, I definitely had some of those types of messages directed at me in my day.
Okay. All right. We've got to get to some more football notes and some other things as well when we continue with Light the Tower here on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9, AM 1260, and streaming on the Horn app and at Horn. Always takes me back to my dorm, UNC Wilmington, as a freshman, hearing that just rock through the dorm. Who is that? It's the first time I'd ever heard Toto back then. By the way, a couple of folks weighing in on the Specs text line at 337-3776. Our friend Bevo Lance Jason says, McDonald's app has the best deals and savings. They do have a lot of deals on that. Somebody else says, my high school team was so bad they couldn't break the sign.
It's like they've seen a Little Giants where they're trying to do the run-through.
Somebody said, back in the day when it was Johnston versus Travis, in today's vernacular, that would be Eastside Memorial against Travis, we thought we were told to run out and threw the banner only to find out that the pep squad was right in front of it. We trampled our own pep squad and then got trampled by Travis.
Oh, that's rough.
Yeah. So, Jeff, Coach P here from Florence. Jeff always got fired up for each game. He wasn't our best lineman, but no one played harder with a passion. If the Longhorns' offensive line doesn't improve a lot, they'll lose two more at least. Obviously, the kicking game, too. Clean up the kicking game, and they're 4-0. So frustrating for Longhorn Nation. How about Coach P?
Kind of sums up my football career, Craig. I wasn't the best or anywhere close to it, but I got the try hard award.
There you go.
The done good award.
You had the passion there working. So, anyway, somebody said back in the day, Pflugerville cheerleaders unveiled a canvas banner that no one could break through. They eventually knocked it down.
That's rough.
Yeah. So there is that. Remember the tearaway banners have that so they could use them in multiple games?
Yeah, that's for the birds. Yeah, I like when the cheerleaders cheerleaders and pep squad or whoever puts in the extra work and
painting it in the hall, school hallways after school all week.
And you know,
long.
I've kind of got that Chad Hastings mindset, Craig, where I tend to think too much about the diminishing returns for things. But that's one that I'm like, you know what? It's just the visual of, you know, you painting like pluck the eagles and it's an eagle with their feathers getting plucked out or whatever. And then you just a team running through that. Nah, that's cool. I dig it.
So somebody said, Craig, I went to high school in Wilmington. Great place to live back in the late 80s. Did you go to Laney, which was Michael Jordan's alma mater, or did you go to Hoggard or New Hanover? I know the high school's back there.
By the way, as we've unearthed on this show, Craig did cover a Michael Jordan JV game.
I did.
At one point in time.
I did.
In his illustrious career.
In 78, 79. I did. So
he was Mike Jordan at that point, though, right?
He was Mike. When he was on the JV. So, anyway, and then somebody asked me a quick question, what's the status of the UT baseball season? My 81-year-old mom has been going for 50 years. Well, that's a good news. The way I look at that, the status of the UT baseball season, I look at it the same way I look at the status of a UT baseball game when it's being threatened by rain. Until it isn't a game, it's a game.
They're practicing right now over at the dish.
Somebody asked me, what about Baylor asked me last week? Are they going to answer it? Until they tell us the game's not happening, the game's happening. Same thing with the rain thing. You'd be surprised the number of calls we get and folks say, is the game still on? Yeah, because we haven't been told it isn't. You know, that's how they have to treat rainouts. And I think it's the same thing, too. The planet, like you said, fall ball's going on right now. The fall practice is going on for Coach Pierce. He and I were texting last week about things, and things are going well for them as they work toward getting ready for the 2021. The guy that went to high school with the Cape Fear Academy basketball state champs in 1987. Very good.
Real quick high school football note, Craig. I know we got Whataburger top five or other things to get to. So, but I shared some text this morning with the guy who was my high school quarterback at Florence High School, Jake Colson. He's now the head coach at Bloomingdale High School in Valrico, Florida.
Okay.
They just cracked, and when Jake took that job, that was not like one of the Florida powerhouse programs. They just cracked the top 10 for the entire state of Florida in the Max Preps rankings. Nice. So you look in the state of Florida, you see like IMG Academy, St. Thomas Aquinas, Miami Northwestern, and sitting there at number 10 is Bloomingdale High School in Valrico.
So nicely done.
Props to him. Shared a couple of texts with my old high school quarterback this morning on the success they're having down there in Florida.
Well done. All right. It is time indeed for our Whataburger Top 5.
Now it's time for the Whataburger Top 5.
Okay, prepare to receive.
Today's edition.
Here we go.
Top 5 players to watch.
Well, when we get to Wednesdays, it's the top 5 players to watch this week. Now, Snoop Daniel does a lot of watching the local players and the local scene, so we have ceded this to him to give us his top 5
indeed
players to watch. So go in reverse order, count it down from number 5 to number 1, the top 5 players to watch this week.
Okay, I feel all these kids are equally important.
Well, the only reason why I say the top 5 is not because one is more important than the other. One might have a more critical game. Mm-hmm. One might be going on the road. One might be coming off an injury. There's several different factors at play when you do the top 5 players. We're watching them for different reasons, not necessarily because this is the best one or whatever.
You're correct. Well, I'm going to start with Cedar Ridge running back Josh Nazaire. Okay, ever since Deuce Vaughn left to Kansas State, and he's killing it now, I think it's been a major question, what was Cedar Ridge going to do with the run game? Well, Josh is going off. 3 touchdowns in a win over Anderson last week, a receiving and rushing touchdown in the win over Round Rock, scored both of Cedar Ridge's touchdowns against Vista Ridge. If Cedar Ridge, look out now, if Cedar Ridge beats Vista Ridge, I think we have the hottest news story in 25-6-8.
Well, the key there will be, you know, the ball control for them, obviously, with Vista Ridge with their offensive
back.
All right, so that's number 5. Number 4.
Zach Hall. He's a lineman for Aikens.
I like it.
I say this because their quarterback, Quincy Welch, he does have offers from colleges, but he's been a little shaky. He's had 3 and 4 interceptions in consecutive games. So, Zach Hall, he just got an offer from Kentucky. Yes, the Kentucky Wildcats. I've not heard of an Aikens player getting a big offer since Teddy Lowry, 2014. So Zach Hall needs to protect his quarterback if Aikens is going to have a shot to beat Del Valle.
Look at Snoop putting an offensive lineman in players to watch.
I like it. I like it.
Okay.
All right, number three.
Lyndon Rangel. He's a running back for Elgin. The Wildcats haven't won a game yet this week, and they lost a real heartbreaker last week to Cedar Creek, 20-16. Rangel has scored multiple touchdowns in each game that he's played. Rouse is going to be tough to beat because they're so red hot, but if Elgin's going to win, they need to lean on Lyndon Rangel.
Okay, number two.
This is a fun player to watch. His name is Jordan Olderp. He's the quarterback for Hendrickson. He also is a former quarterback from Georgetown. Well, guess what? They meet this Friday. Mm-hmm. Jordan gets to play his old team. If Hendrickson is going to bounce back from their loss against Cedar Park, you know what? They scored 28 points against the Black Rain defense, and it was when Jordan was twirling the pigskin. So,
okay.
It's going to be up to him. They're going to be
twirling the pigskin.
Yes.
I'll jot that down for future. Sneak that in the game story here.
There we go. And the number one player to watch this week, Snoop.
Brendan Jones, outside linebacker, edge rusher, wherever they line him up for LBJ. Jaguars are playing a very tough land passes. Number two in 4A Division I.
That's correct.
And if Ace Whitehead maybe is – he throws really well on the run, obviously, like he can still – but – Brendan Jones, he needs to keep pressure on Whitehead if LBJ is going to have a prayer to beat Lampasas. And you know, I think I have personally Lampasas by 21.5.
Really? That much?
In my head, not a computer. So, and I love LBJ, but Lampasas, they're going to state. My top five.
Would you like to know what the actual computer says?
Yes, please. Oh, my gosh. Yes.
You said
21.5.
21.5.
Even though I still think LBJ has a shot to win state.
You say and a half? That makes it sound like it's a FIPO line.
Oh, really? Oh, sorry. What are you doing?
Like, are you going to take the above the 21? What are you saying and a half?
Well, I think,
think they're good enough to win by 21 or 22.
Okay.
Just pick one or the other.
All right, 22.
So you're liking about 22. Wow. The computer says 18.
Ooh.
Likes the Battling Badgers by 18.
My gosh.
That's what the computer is.
What a game that's going to be. You know, and I don't think Lampasas – well, they haven't.
Well, not according to you, if you think they're going to win by 22 points.
They haven't played a team like LBJ yet this year. I mean, hell, they've barely played anybody with COVID. But it's going to be an interesting game. But the fact that it's at Badger Stadium is why I feel it's going to be such a big advantage for Lampasas. They just – in front of that home crowd – like I said, I compare them to how I saw Temple when Taquan Graham was a sophomore at Temple High School. That kind of rabbitness.
Okay. Yeah.
Kind of fan base.
Yeah. If you're going up there for the game, maybe roll on in the storms and get a burger or something like that there. You know?
That's always the move.
Yeah. By the way, my brother, former truck driver, texted in, says the Flying J and other truck stops made pretty good pizza. He says the Godfathers and the Loves and Ranger with everything on it was pretty good. I'll take his word for it on that.
Yeah.
I'll take his word for it on that. All right. We now get to, before we get to the football notes, which are always presented by our friends at Cedar Park Overhead Door. Check them out online at cedarparkgaragedoors.com. You had the basketball note last hour, Jeff, that the matchups for the Big 12 SEC Challenge have been announced. I was quite surprised to hear that the Texas Longhorns' opponent in the Big 12 SEC Challenge will not be Tennessee or Texas A&M, Kentucky.
Indeed.
At Rupp Arena.
Yeah, real quick on that, on the Texas A&M thing, which is always a topic of conversation. Specs text line is open, by the way, 337-3776. Was Buzz Williams joking last year after the game where, obviously that game was played at the Dickies Arena in Fort Worth?
Yeah, Fort Worth, yeah.
Part of me thought he was joking, but part of me thought he was really serious when he said, hey, if we do this again, I don't want to do this on a neutral floor. So basically, as long as Buzz Williams is the head coach of Texas A&M, if those two teams do play each other,
right,
it's going to be on one home court or the other. It won't be a neutral side game.
Yeah, yeah. But that game wasn't the Big 12 SEC Challenge.
No, it was not.
Yeah. So, you know, the LSU game was, obviously.
Yeah.
Anyway. So, I don't know. He might have been serious about that.
Part of me thought he was joking, but I was like, I don't know. He was sounding kind of serious.
Were you at that game? I'm trying to remember.
I was, yes.
Yeah. He had, what, about 9,500 fans there.
Yeah. I had to help Fran Fraschilla find his driver's license at that game, by the way.
Did you really?
Yeah, Fran lost his driver's license on press row. It ended up, like, in the floor next to my seat, so I had to run him down.
I've had wallets fall out of my pants there.
Had to run him down and tell him, hey, just saved you a trip to the DMV.
Nice, nice. All right, to the football notes.
Yeah, Craig, so one statistic I like to look at we're kind of getting into some of the like inside baseball kind of talk here, so bear with me. One stat I like to look at is havoc plays made on defense. Now, Football Outsiders, there's a lot of different ways people, you know, have their different definitions for havoc plays. But basically, here's the gist of it. You take, in a game, you take your combined tackles for loss, passes defensed, which are pass breakups and interceptions, mm-hmm. and forced fumbles. And basically, that's how many havoc plays you have per game. And I looked at it, Craig, through the last 12 games, which basically I kind of said, if you look at the Tom Herman era, and Aaron Hogan kind of brought my attention to it, and again, during the bye week, I went deep into the weeds on what's happened since the Oklahoma game last year. It's kind of on the line of demarcation for the Tom Herman era in terms of things really haven't been the same since then. So I looked at the last 12 games Texas has played, and this is defensively. I looked at the 6 wins, which going back to last year are K-State, Kansas, Texas Tech, Utah in the bowl game, and then this year UTEP and Texas Tech.
Okay.
In those, in sacks, according, you got to go NCAA stats, so sacks count towards your tackles for loss total.
Right.
In those wins, the 6 wins, Texas has 15 sacks, 47 tackles for loss, 28 pass breakups, 3 forced fumbles, 4 interceptions. They're averaging roughly 13.7, almost 14 havoc plays per game defensively. Now go to the 6 losses. Now, again, going back to last year, that's Oklahoma, TCU, Iowa State, and Baylor, and then this year, TCU and Oklahoma. The sacks, Craig, go from 15 down to 6, so you're averaging basically 1 sack per game in those 6 losses. Tackles for loss go down from, and that's including your sack numbers, go from 47 all the way down to 32. Your pass breakups, they're almost cut in half, going from 28 all the way down to 16. Your interceptions are the same, 4 and 4. Texas does have 8 forced fumbles, so that's a little strange that in the losses you're still able to punch the ball out and take care of bad ball security by the opponent. But basically your havoc plays, you're averaging 4 less per game. And that might, it's like, well, Jeff, that doesn't sound like a lot. But think about the kinds of plays I'm talking about. When you talk about what it's going to take for this defense to do the kinds of things you need to do to win games in the Big 12, Craig, and in this spread era, where do you need to be really good? You need to be really good in the red zone. You need to be really good on third down. You got to be able to A, get off the field, and B, when they get inside the 20, hold them to field goals. That's why, you know, you can buy what Tom Herman's saying about why their red zone defense was so good in the TCU game, because as many times as TCU got down there, more often than not, you're keeping yourself in the game if you can just hold them to a field goal.
Right.
And so what kind of plays are we talking about there? Breaking up a pass, negative play, sack or tackle for loss. Obviously, an interception or forced fumble. Now you're talking about forcing turnovers, limiting possessions, getting the offense off the field. This defense, Craig, in those 6 losses, we could talk about the explosive plays allowed. And in this league against these offenses that you face in the Big 12 and just kind of in football today, you're going to give up chunk yardage plays. You're not going to go through a game where you hold a team to 0 explosive plays, whether you're talking about the opponent's run game or their pass game.
Even Clemson, Alabama, those teams, they give up chunk yardage plays.
Alabama gave up plenty of them in the Georgia game, but they ended up making their share. But you've got to be able to make those kinds of game-changing plays, those havoc plays, again, that's your tackles for loss, getting hands on balls when they're in the air, forcing fumbles, forcing turnovers.
And that flips the script.
And in the last 6 losses, they just haven't done it. Like I said, for your sack numbers, Craig, to go from 15 in the last 6 wins to 6 in the last 6 losses – and I know we can talk about sacks being an overrated statistic, but you know what? Usually if you're able to get to the quarterback or around there, your tackles for loss should shoot up, your pass breakup should shoot up because you're thinking your quarterback's getting rid of the ball before he wants to, your DB should be in a position to make the play. Your tackles for loss go from 47 to 32 between the last 6 wins and the last 6 losses. And, Craig, the stats get even more damning in terms of what you produced in the wins if you take kind of the 2 outliers there, really the bowl game against Utah, and which we've all learned around here to take, as I've said many times, take bowl games with kind of a grain of salt. And then the UTEP game, which, look, we all saw it as pretty much a glorified scrimmage, but even if you take those out, it's even a little more closer. But in the 6 losses, they just have not done a really good job of making havoc plays. And then on the other side, Craig, the Texas offense has done a really good job at preventing havoc plays. The last 6 wins, They've given up 11 sacks, 29 tackles for loss, 4 forced fumbles, 4 interceptions, 17 pass breakups. It's about 8.7, almost 9 havoc plays per game Texas is allowing. So the differential in the wins is what you really need to look at, and it's really good. But I mentioned Texas only has 10 averaging 10 havoc plays per game in those 6 losses. Look at what they've given up, though. In the last 6 losses Texas has had, they've given up 23 sacks, given up 42 tackles for loss. Opponents have 28 pass breakups, 8 interceptions, and 2 forced fumbles. The opponents are averaging 13 havoc plays per game in those 6 losses. So you're losing that havoc play discrepancy. You're losing that in those 6 losses. So the bottom line is, while this isn't going to be a good tackling defense, don't expect that. Again, I think for Chris Ash, who, by the way, is going through his media availability right now with the media this week, that's why we're focusing on defense here. Don't focus on this team just suddenly becoming a great tackling team. Focus on things like, you know, keep your explosive play numbers down from where they've been. Keep your missed tackles to single digits. It's got to be those small incremental gains. But when guys are in a position to close on the quarterback, to wrap up a ball carrier behind the line of scrimmage, to get a hand on a football, to poke a ball out, like we saw, and this is what I love about Joseph Osai. People can look at the pressure he's getting, whatever. The best play he made, and I think just kind of sums up who he is as a player, Craig, is the play he made to run down T.J. Pledger and knock a ball loose and force a fumble.
True enough. Absolutely.
Texas is just, they've got to make more of those plays when they're in a position to do so.
Folks are fond of making comparisons between the struggles of the Cowboys and the Longhorns, and I think they're kind of different in a lot of ways that they're compared. But one thing that reminded me of what you said, Babe Loffenberg had this tweet the other day, and the quote was, "Have no freaking idea why this team can't take the ball away. They've gone 5 straight years with 10 or fewer interceptions. That, my friends, is an NFL record that goes back 88 years. And it appears they will extend that, as they have 1 interception in their first 6 games." So that speaks to it.
Yeah, and for the Cowboys, we know they've invested in guys like DeMarcus Lawrence, and they've been able to, they've been really good at finding reclamation projects in the trenches, whether it's Robert Quinn, now Aldon Smith, getting Randy Gregory back, which, by the way, I was shocked when I looked into it, Craig. Randy Gregory has been really good when he's actually been on the field. He just hasn't been on the field all that much. For the Cowboys, it comes down to neglect of the safety position. And one real quick note I want to mention, Craig, that we didn't get to yesterday, but I had to run these numbers down because Cowboys fans are wondering now that you're about to get into this, what looks like just an atrocious Zeke Elliott contract. Well, what's it going to cost to get rid of him? Well, you can look at the cap hit. But the number you really need to look at for this Zeke Elliott deal is the dead money, the money that you're going to owe him regardless of whether he's there or not. Zeke Elliott's dead money, Craig, this year, his dead cap hit this year, $35.4
million. Wow.
That's the number Zeke Elliott's owed in dead money. Next year, it's $24.5 million. The earliest you can theoretically get rid of Zeke Elliott and get off of this contract is in 2022. When it's 16.5 to keep him or 10.5 to cut him loose.
Wow, that's a lot. By the way, somebody said, what is this, the sheep station? Said, or the horn? Come on. We were making a reference to A&M in Texas when they played in basketball. We didn't launch into a long thing about A&M. In the immortal words of Sergeant Holka, lighten up, Francis. It's okay. Sorry. It was just a reference by comparison to A&M in Texas and the Big 12 SEC Challenge.
Big Crit fan, why you got to bring up 3rd and 17?
Why you got to bring up 3rd and 17? Okay. There it is. For those of you who remember the LSU game last year. All right, we'll be back to wrap up Light the Tower here on the Horn.
Is Whataburger's honey barbecue chicken strip sandwich a work of art? The 3 chicken.
More than 30 years. You might have an emergency service need, like a broken garage door or a spring. With 24-hour emergency garage door service, they're always available to serve you. Maybe you wanted to update your garage door and opener and add value to your home. Cedar Park Overhead Door has a full showroom and staff to assist with all your needs. Call them today at 335-7441 or visit online at cedarparkgaragedoors.com. Cedar Park Overhead Door, doing their part to help keep Austin moving.
Bud Light created a hard seltzer so satisfying, it will have your taste buds going wild. Let's listen in.
Attention, everyone. This is your taste bud director. We got an incoming Bud Light seltzer. What are we thinking, taste buds?
Refreshing!
Great.
Now, clean finish!
Yeah, I got that on.
Tastes like mango!
Yes, mango.
One more sip!
Bud Light seltzer. Listen to your taste buds and try it today. Enjoy responsibly. Anheuser-Busch Bud Light seltzer, IRC beer in Texas, St. Louis, Missouri.
Billium Property Management Software puts you in the driver's seat with the confidence to go fast, keeping you focused on the competition and what's ahead. Billium isn't for everyone, but neither is winning. Billium, all in a day's work. Let's get to work at Billium.com.
Back here on Light the Tower as we close out a Wednesday here on the show. Craig has had some other responsibilities to take care of. It's Coordinator Wednesday down on the 40, so a lot of moving going on, having to get those responsibilities taken care of. Real quick, C-Bucks, I want to get to something he said on the Specs text line, 337-3776. And before I get to that, though, real quick, Snoop, we got to give a shout-out to CB, Chris Bennett. Today is CB's last day in Austin, so before his big move to Washington, right outside of the Seattle area. So CB, be safe. Let us know when you get there. And CB's going to stay here too. CB's a big part of the message board community at Horns 24/7, and he's still going to be active on Twitter. So he's already said he's not going to be a Washington Huskies fan. He will still follow his Longhorns from the Pacific Northwest. So CB, best of luck and safe travels to you and your family. But C Bucks on the Specs text line mentioned something about Sam Ehlinger. He said if you take away the UTEP game, Sam Ehlinger has a completion percentage of 57.1%, not good. And I agree. Like we said, like if you look at Sam Ehlinger's body of work this year, Snoop, I don't know what you'd give it. I'd give Sam probably a B-, just compared to kind of where he set the bar. I mean, C+, B-, something like that. It is what it is. But again, there's a couple things to bring up. One, if you look in the last six losses Texas has had where he's been a quarterback, he's been sacked 23 times in those six games. And I've broken down every sack Texas has given up this year. Do you realize in the Oklahoma game, Texas had a seven-man protection on one sack. Oklahoma had a four-man rush, and Texas gave up a sack, run a seven-man protection. That's really hard to do. It's really hard to do. But again, I go back to this, C-Bucks, to close it out today. Sam Ehlinger in a fourth quarter this year games, and you can argue that Texas shouldn't be in that position to where they have to come from behind. Sam Ehlinger's got three incompletions in the third quarter this year, three third quarters of Big 12 play. He's thrown for 287 yards in those three quarters, 13 rushes for 98 yards. So that's just three quarters. Sam Ehlinger is getting it done at a high level in the fourth quarter, but they've got to be better, obviously, for the other three leading into that. That'll do it for today on the show. Come back. We've got our typical Thursday. Don't forget our Lunch Rush edition of the Friday Night Flex coming tomorrow. Vandegrift head coach Drew Sanders will join us. All that and much more coming your way tomorrow on the show. For Craig Way, for Snoop Daniel, I am Jeff Howe. Thank you so much for listening, and we will be back tomorrow to light the tower on the Horn, 104.9, 101.9 AM 1260, streaming on the Horn app and at hornfm.com.
Pettit Chevrolet knows how stressful buying a new vehicle can be, and that's exactly why we provide